You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Names continuing to float around the Browns. It's a quarterback's getting thrown out like yesterday's socks. Okay, we're tossing names left and right. It felt like the infatuation today, which we talked a little bit yesterday, and I guess it was part of yesterday's infatuation too, was a little bit of Jalen Milroe. We probably won't focus too heavily on him today, but we'll talk a little Shedeur Sanders because Lewis Riddick wants to get into it. But a lot to get to. We'll react to the Guardians when they're wrapped up. A packed show for you. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime until 11 tonight. We got Michael Bohm running the board as well. Anthony Lant, you heard him on the 2020s and doing work in the back. It was bliss yesterday, okay? I mean, we had a Guardians win, which I'm not celebrating 1-0 wins on game 10. I refuse to do so. But I'll take the victory. And then the Cavs obviously clinching the one seed, which is where I want to start with you. Just not on the general topic, which we covered yesterday, the clinch of the one seed in the East, it meaning something as a whole. But really more so on what the Cavs do from here on out. Because obviously, this is a team now that's in the driver's seat with three games to go where they have everything at their disposal. What do you want to do? What is it that with your remainder of what you have that you want to go through and say, do I want to rest these guys? Do I want to actually get a little bit of momentum built up and try to get these guys going on a hotter pace, closer to what they were yesterday, shooting 50% from beyond the arc? Do I want to get them trying to get closer into that range? Or am I okay just saying, you know what, let's make it to the playoffs. Let's make it to the first round completely healthy and say that we're full strength. Now, I'm generally of the belief that once you can't have any more movement, the regular season is practically useless for most guys, right? This is a time where I say, I'm not really scared out of any of the teams that sit 7 through 10. Right, we talked about that yesterday, kind of who you would like to face. There's no team there that ultimately scares me in any way. I think if you get... you can't get the Cavs that you've had for the last month or so. But if you get a team that's not firing on all cylinders, but clearly still giving playoff effort, you'll take care of 7 through 10. There's no worry in my mind about that. This team's too good. They're too talented. They've played too good all year to get punched in the mouth by a bad team. And I would say, again, for most of the guys that you look at on an individual basis for this team, I stand pat and sit there and don't have any worries about that either. Right? If you sat down Evan Mobley right now, I'm sure he's going to be fine. Maybe he takes a game or two to warm up. He'll be all right. Donovan, I'm in the full sit Donovan for all three games camp. If you want to play maybe one and you want to play him some limited minutes, sure. But with an ankle injury, don't go and risk it. We know Jared Allen's going to play. He wants to play all 82, at least in some capacity. There's no way he's sitting down. The one guy, though, that I view a little bit differently in this is sort of Darius Garland, right? Because Darius, obviously, to start the year was incredible, and then we know that post All-Star break, he's taken a little bit of a drop. He just has not been the same Darius that we've seen all year. And as I look and think, I need to see Darius actually succeed in a playoff series, because as we've seen Darius in the playoffs prior, not that he's completely crumbled and choked, but he hasn't had great outings. We've always sort of desired more from him when the playoffs rolled around and didn't get everything that we wanted. But I think now would have sort of been the perfect time to say, you've been playing less than what I expect of you, less of what I know that you can bring, because you did it for the span of months. So I know you're capable of bringing that on a regular basis, shooting, you know, upwards of 50% from the field, obviously slightly below, shooting a high clip from three, still being involved, playmaking on the offense. He was incredible. That entire stretch when the Cavs were so dominant, Darius was maybe not guy number one, but he was an argument for guy number two. It was him and Evan Mobley, both playing well, but in the argument for either one of these guys could go out and be your number two option. And then it seems like Darius loses his groove a little bit, loses a stride, doesn't have it, to the point where I look at Darius down the last three games, and I would have said, if there's one guy out of the starting rotation that I'm going to make sure is in the lineup for these three games, I would have had it been Darius Garland. And in fact, and not only would I have had it been Darius, I would have done that in combination with the fact that I'd be sitting down Donovan Mitchell. Because something happens when those two are on opposite sides. And by the way, this is officially a fever dream, because the Cavs have now ruled Darius out and are going in the opposite direction of what I'd like, because he's out for Thursday's game coming up against the Pacers. But if it were up to me, Darius would be playing without Donovan, because go through, and if you look at the stats in which games that Darius plays and he's the number one guy, and he's the only one on the floor, and if I'm looking for my guy to get into a groove and build some confidence in himself and in his shot specifically going into the playoffs, well, all you have to do is look at really this entire season when it's just Darius, not Donovan. There have been a total of 8 or 9 games here. I think 9 games since that Darius has been out or playing while Donovan has not been playing. And out of those, there's been one in which Darius Garland has not scored 20 or more points. There's been 0 games out of that stretch where he's not had 5 or more assists, and only 2 of them where he's had 7 or less. He's just been the guy that steps up and is incredible. The one down game he had, let's take that out of the equation just for argument's sake. Let's say we'll push that one off to the side. Let's completely ignore it, and let's really hone in on the other 7 games. Right, the 7 out of 8. Darius in that stretch has shot no lower than 40% from the field, has gone from 3 and at least been feasible from beyond the arc. He's at least putting up 7 or more threes a game. For me, it's let the guy drop a couple of 20 bombs. Let him go out there, hit 25 plus. If I'm looking for one of my star players to go out there and build confidence, and all it takes is him to say, well, when Donovan's not on the court, that's when Darius almost knows that he has to take over, knows that he has to be the best player in the lineup that day and command the offense and command what he did. And you saw that last night where the Cavs sit down Donovan Mitchell, play it safe from the ankle injury, and what does Darius do? Drops 28 points, 10 of 17 from the field, shoots 6 of 10 from beyond the arc. He clearly has a good thing going. And while I understand prioritizing health and making sure that he's getting proper rest and he's not worn out by the time the playoffs come around, I'd like a guy to be able to build off of a great performance. And someone who struggled to hit his shots pretty much over the last 2 months might be a true scenario of where Darius has struggled. It has nearly been a full 2 months that he has not looked like himself. Whereas one of the first times that I see it and see it in full effect, I want to capture that. And I want to make sure that it's on repeat as many times as we can get to before the playoffs roll around. Because obviously, it's not going to be Darius Garland on the floor by himself when you get to the playoffs. Donovan's going to be there. You could make the argument that not having Donovan on the floor, it's basically empty numbers because that's not going to be the way that it looks. But for me, it's a confidence builder. You go out there and continue to put good performance on good performance. You've, again, gotten into a rhythm. You feel like, to some degree, you probably can't miss, to the point where I'm going to sit there and hope, maybe the week off, it's just all good vibes for Darius Garland. And even if one of those games go the way that the Portland game went, where he scored 13, shot poorly from the floor, and it just doesn't go the way that he wants it to, if he gets 2 out of 3 that go well, and metrics will say, based off the season, he's getting at least 2 out of 3 to go well. I just think that's a massive confidence builder for Darius Garland, a guy that we know the confidence can sort of go up and down. We saw it last year in the playoffs, really the last year as a season in its entirety. After having his jaw wired shut, he never seemed like he was the same player. He never fully bounced back from injury. And while I think that's a different type of confidence from maybe what he's battling right now, I just want to make sure all of these guys are firing at the highest clip they can. I know that Donovan's going to turn it up for the playoffs. I can pretty much bet on that and bank on that. Because I think when that moment rolls around, you'll see the most locked in Donovan that you're going to see, not just all of this year, but potentially of all of his career, because he knows the opportunity ahead of him. But I've seen it out of Jared Allen the last few games, really the last probably 2 weeks. The uptick that he's taken, not just in the fourth quarter, but across games, has shown me, yeah, that guy's ready. Evan Mobley's had games where it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's ready too. And his game to me is more translatable to, yeah, you give a lot of effort, and sure, whether or not you're hot on the offensive side, you're going to go through the ups and downs to a point with Evan Mobley. But the defensive side of the game is always going to be there. I can count on him to be a key contributor, and I can count on him to be probably pretty good on the offensive side of the ball, just the way his game's built. But for Darius, it relies so much on being able to hit your shots, being able to be confident in everything you do, and every time you're on the floor, you feel like you're a god. You feel like that you're number one, you can't miss. And that's when Darius has operated at his best. Again, I'd love to have seen him play the last 3 games, capture this moment, keep it pushing, and allow no time, no doubt to creep in. I want to ride the hot hand, and if it takes playing that hot hand and potentially risking his health, and it paints out very negative, just playing 3 basketball games the same way that he has all year would risk his health. But putting that at risk in what it could be considered meaningless games, I'd be willing to do that for the hope and the probably bonus added effect that I think I'm getting a better version of Darius Garland when he steps on the floor come playoff time. That's the guy that I want to see. That's the guy that I want to see in the building when it actually counts, when you're hosting the first round of a playoff game, and when Darius steps onto the floor, I know he's locked in. I know that there's nothing to stop him mentally from saying, I can go out here and drop 30. I can go out here and not miss a shot because I'm just feeling that good. 216-474-0092. Should the Cavs have considered giving Darius the reps without Donovan Mitchell down the last 3 games of the regular season here? You can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. So we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot coming up for you guys tonight, including Matt Verderam of SI Now going to be joining us at 8 o'clock for the latest around the NFL, the NFL draft. We'll ask him some questions about Shador as well. What on earth is going on in Pittsburgh? We'll also talk to Nick Carboni, WCNC sports director out in Charlotte. He'll give us the latest with Draft Daily, what's going on with the Panthers within the top 10, where are they potentially looking to give a little bit of help for Bryce Young. We'll also, as we always do, Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. Get a grip at 9 o'clock. We'll bring in Anthony in the 10 o'clock hour as well for Change Your Mind. A lot to get to, but right now, 216-474-0092. Should the Cavs have considered giving Darius Garland some reps down the final 3 games without Donovan Mitchell on the floor to build some confidence? We'll get to your calls and more on Evan Mobley coming up in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here until 11 on Overtime.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
On the Fan, he's played so well without Donovan. Just give him the run. Let him have some opportunities. Let him have a little bit of chance to go out there, put some points on the board, distribute the basketball. Again, I want just uber confident Darius Garland every chance that I can get him, because that's when he's at his best. And he was at his best for so long this year, but I'm going to need him to be there when the playoffs roll around. I'm not going to probably claim anybody as like the X factor for the Cavs, right? I'm not going to go through and say, you got to 100%. Get Darius Garland to be playing like the best player on the floor for them to be winning. We're not going to do that, okay? The way that they're structured, everybody is so important to this team's success. You could probably go at least like 1 through 7, maybe 1 through 8, but I would say you have the starting five, DeAndre Hunter, Ty Jerome. You need a lot of those guys to show up, not every single night, each individual one, but you're going to need those guys to be playing some of their best basketball down the stretch here for this team to be successful. It's just the way that it goes. If you're going to beat Boston, those are 7 guys, maybe tossing like a Dean Wade, guys who need to be playing at the top of their game. Now, the Cavs aren't going down this road for the final 3 games, at least not for their upcoming game tomorrow night, taking on the Pacers, because Darius Garland has already been ruled out. Which, again, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I can see the side of it, and I can see telling yourself, I want my guys to be healthy. The playoffs are really what matter. We'll bank on Darius being himself when this team really has something to play for and are back feeling like the pressure's on, like they were in the beginning of the year, where they really felt the pressure and didn't feel like they were coasting throughout the regular season. I can totally see that side of it. But I just don't want to sit down the hot hand. The guy just played one of the best games that he has in the last 2 months. You could probably say the best game that he has in the last 2 months. I mean, he shot 6 of 10 from 3. It's going to be a lot of guys' best game from the field, probably in their season. But you're sitting him down now and going back and forth. It's not like he's going to lose confidence from not playing, but I'd like him to at least build on what he just had. Like, yeah, if you're making shots, let's see you keep making shots. It's the best opportunity, I feel like, to get Darius hot. And I just don't know that Kenny Atkinson's buying into it. They're going more health. But if there's one guy that I'm not just banking on, I need you to be healthy right now, but instead, I need you to get the reps, it would have been Darius. Again, 216-474-0092 if you want to jump in. Let's go out to the phones. Let's talk to Paul is in Cleveland Heights. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, guys. This is Ken, right?
No, it's Jake.
Oh, Jake, man, you sound just like Ken.
I'll take that as a compliment, no doubt. Thank you very much.
But just real quick, man, why are you scrutinizing Darius Garland? This is the best season he's had since he's been in the NBA.
It downright no question about it, Paul. He's in spurts this year and really just through the beginning of the season up until the All-Star break was playing out of his mind. But in the last 2 months, he simply hasn't been himself. He's shooting percentage has taken nearly a 10% drop. His three-point percentage has dropped slightly less than that, but also in a significant margin. His assist numbers have gone down. He's just not the same player offensively that he was. And there's, I mean, a lot of answers that could be that. The Cavs coasting down the back half of the season. It could just be a slow stretch of games for Darius. And it's not even necessarily what I'm saying is a knock to him. I just recognize he hasn't played his best basketball in the last 2 months, and I would take this opportunity to hope that in the last three or so games, you can get back to that Darius Garland and recapture what you had in those first 4 months.
You don't think he played well last night?
No, I think he played amazing last night. That's what I'm basing off of. That's why I want you to say play the last three. It's most of the games outside of last night for the last 2 months in which he's been relatively mediocre compared to what he was in the beginning of the year.
Well, you know what, Jake, and I'm going to let you go after this.
Mm-hmm.
We have our roster. We have who we have, and we're going to run with it. There's really no weaknesses that we can cure at this time of the season. So let's see how it rocks. I think we're going to beat the Celtics.
I mean, I'm hoping to be there with you, Paul, and I appreciate the call. I'm hoping to be in the spot where, like, if you would have asked me before the All-Star break, do I think the Cavs beat the Celtics, I would have told you, yeah, I'm pretty confident. Like, not confident as I think there's logical, real reason on why the Cavs should hands down beat the Celtics in a seven-game series. But sitting here watching this team night in and night out, I can sit there and say, you know what? I definitely give this team their fair chance, and I'd probably give them the slight edge over Boston. Without having seen this team really turn it up a notch over the last 2 months, and again, could just be them coasting. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think it's unorthodox. But if they can flip the switch and get back to it, okay. But without seeing that, it's back to a coin flip for me. And one of the things that I think really takes you up and over the hump to beat Boston is Darius playing well. Him being efficient from the floor is what I point to as one of the most important things when you go up against Boston. Because even this year, against the Celtics, Darius hasn't necessarily played his best basketball. Right. Obviously, he had the atrocious game where he scored 8 points all the way back in November, and it was the complete odd one out. He was 3 of 21 from the field, but he's played relatively well in games that, of course, the Cavs split with Boston 2-2 this year. He's been better. If I can get to, again, uber confident, the best guy that's potentially been on the floor all year, the first 4 months of Darius Garland, that I'm getting a much better chance to beat Boston. He's going to be absolutely picked on the defensive side of the ball. Boston's been incredible at doing that, isolating matchups, getting Darius on the ball handler, and taking advantage of their positional matchups wherever they can with Darius because they feel like they have it in most spots. If I can switch him on to either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, you feel pretty good. Feel pretty good if you're Boston. And I know come that series, he's going to be... liability is such a strong word, but I think it's honestly pretty fair here. He's going to be a liability defensively against Boston. I mean, he's more so a liability when he's on the floor defensively anyway. That's part of Darius Garland being an undersized guard who's just not, I mean, any of your starters. He's not Gary Payton, okay? He's not the glove. He's gotten better. He's been good at reading passing lanes, but I know he's not going to be great on that side of the ball. So I need the offensive side to show up. I need him to be a great offensive point guard and be able to score the basketball while distributing like he did last night. That's the Darius Garland I need to see. I think the last three games probably would have helped you there. I would have loved to see him on the floor. I'm not dooming him because he's not playing tomorrow night. But I just don't see a ton of reason to just completely move on and say, yep, you know, we're gonna go with health here. When you know that Darius hasn't been on top of his game, it feels like a great chance to capitalize on, hey, go play your best basketball. Let's go see you. Everybody else in the NBA has been using the last couple of weeks as their ramp-up period. Right? They're all trying to get to play their best ball. They're all trying additionally as hard and trying to get into a groove. And if the Cavs don't want to go down that, I'm perfectly fine with it. If they want to continue to operate in a different way than they have, or in the same way that they have, but a different way than every other team has all year long. You continue to operate that way. I just think Darius is the one guy that could really benefit from it. All right, let's leave that there for a second. I do want to bring up an additional point here about the Cavs, because I just can't see the logic right now behind Evan Mobley not being Defensive Player of the Year. Right, because we're going through and putting Draymond Green on a pedestal. And for what? Like, Draymond's, again, historically a great defender. And if you wanted to give him his flowers over the past, like, 6 years, you could have given him his flowers over the past 6 years. He's now sitting at minus 450 odds to win Defensive Player of the Year. As of today, as of this afternoon, sitting at minus 450 odds over Evan Mobley, who they're sitting there in Vegas has right around the plus 350 mark. Like, it's pretty much, that's telling you, it's pretty much going to be a shoe-in for the last part of this. And why? In what form has Evan Mobley shown you that he's not a better defender than Draymond Green throughout the back half of the year, right? And you can go through since March 21st. So we're talking the last 2.5 weeks or so. Evan Mobley has dominated the per 36 stats over Draymond Green, over defensive rebounds, blocks, personal fouls, field goals defended, the defensive field goal percentage. You can go against rim contest, rim field goal percentage, everything. The only thing that Draymond leads in is steals. And hey, guys, Evan Mobley's a seven-footer, okay? Hey, Draymond should be leading the steals category. But every statistical category tells you Evan should be the guy up front. That should be the guy that you turn to and say, yeah, no doubt, without Victor Wembanyama here, why is it any different? Why are you having to campaign for Evan Mobley to be Defensive Player of the Year? That just doesn't add up. If the numbers are saying that's the answer, why are we basing anything off of anything else? Like, if all of the metrics and the advanced metrics are saying that Evan Mobley, even down the stretch where the Warriors have found their groove and become now a top contender in the West, if Evan Mobley's still the better defensive player, how is he not getting his flowers? And the only thing that I could logically think of is the fact that Evan Mobley isn't the same personality that Draymond is, right? There was almost no buzz for Draymond Green to win Defensive Player of the Year. It was Evan Mobley. It was Jaren Jackson. I mean, you could throw, Dyson Daniels in there, Lu Dort. But it was not a ton of buzz for Draymond Green until Draymond hops on his podcast, makes it very known, very apparent that he feels like he's one of the best defenders in the NBA. The Warriors go on a run, and he's talking week in and week out about the performance that he's making. Meanwhile, Evan Mobley, like he does, moves in silence. Doesn't speak out. And that's fine, but it shouldn't be a determining factor, which it feels like at this point it is. It feels like that they go down and they make their decisions right now off of Defensive Player of the Year. If you're handing that to Draymond Green, it's just based off of the fact that he goes out to the media, he talks, he makes himself openly available, and Evan sort of sits in the shadows and does nothing of the sorts. Right? To the point where, after last night's game, Darius and Evan made it very apparent that it was, they had to make a case for Evan Mobley. 216-474-0092. We're going to get to Evan and Darius's comments here coming back in 5 minutes. We'll also get to the station buzz and your calls as well. Again, 216-474-0092. Is Evan Mobley being slighted for Defensive Player of the Year just strictly based off of personality? That's coming in 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
it. Can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Well, Dr. Ham is well coming up here in a few minutes. We'll get to the station buzz as we normally do at 7:40. But I did want to continue a bit of a conversation regarding Evan Mobley being Defensive Player of the Year, being slighted for it, mostly in my eyes due to the personality. I brought up some stats myself. I think that properly back to the fact that if Evan Mobley's leading in a ton of categories, why not? Why would he not be in this conversation? But also, why not just let the guys tell you themselves? Right? Darius Garland, after last night's game, him and Evan were sitting down having a conversation with the media, and Darius felt the need that if his teammate wasn't going to go out and necessarily speak for himself, he was going to do it for him.
Evan Mobley, one personal foul tonight. That's good. He doesn't hack. He doesn't scream at the refs. He goes block shots. His deflection numbers is out the roof. He guards 1 through 5. I mean, what does he do? I mean, he just doesn't express it how other people express it. So, I mean, if you look at the numbers, you watch a Cavs game, like, you see all the impact that he does for us on both sides of the ball, just not even defense. But since we're on DPOY, blocks, deflections, switching out 1 through 5 and on elite guards. It's really a guard league right now, and he's switching out on some of the top guards in the league and really holding his own. Like, we all stay home when he gets a switch. That's how much confidence we have in him. That's just a little bit of my case. I can go on Twitter or go on a podcast and go do the same thing for my boy. But I'm going to let him talk his talk whenever he wants to.
I like the slights coming down via Darius Garland, because a couple of direct shots there at why Evan's the better defensive player over Draymond Green. You heard him say, one personal foul. He doesn't hack. That's a direct ode to Draymond, who we brought up the stats since March 21st. Draymond nearly averaging 5 fouls a game in that span. Guys, you foul out after 6. He's averaging 5. That's absurd. And Evan, during that stretch, by the way, averaging 2 fouls a game. Clearly, again, the cleaner defensive player. Also talks about, I could hop on a podcast, I could go and talk to the media and, you know, do anything and say why Evan should be there. Again, another direct slight at Draymond Green, who runs his own podcast and is out there campaigning for himself to be Defensive Player of the Year. Again, makes no sense to me. If Draymond's winning it, it just makes no sense. And in fact, Darius said that he was going to let Evan speak for himself. He handed the mic right over to him and told him, oh, why don't you go and do it then, Evan?
My biggest thing is guy my size, my wingspan, my agility. You don't really see that. I mean, in the contenders, is nobody like even close to that
at all.
Also, the stats as well. I mean, speak for itself. The blocks.
You got some stats?
This fouls. I mean, I don't foul.
1.6 blocks. Game.
Steals, deflections. Also, people don't even go up against me in the paint, so that's not even a stat. I mean, there's a lot, but I mean, the defense is kind of ran, so I'm involved in a lot of the actions, and me and Jay are protecting the paint. It's based around us, so that's a big factor as well.
I just like the Darius throughout that clip as well, which Evan brings up some great points. But Darius throughout that clip was being like, I can't even remember his name, but from the Sandlot, the kid who's just repeating the nicknames. It's like the Titan of Terror. Yeah, the Titan of Terror. Like, just going through, don't say that, I just said that. But he's like, oh, it's going through. It's like 1.6 blocks. And they're scared. They don't even want to go up against. He's a little chime. He's a little the slight irritant in the background of, oh, yeah, you're going to hear me. You're going to hear me. I'm going to drop in a little tidbit. And I kind of like it. Oh, all right. Let's leave that there. As we always do at 7:40, as we get ready to talk to Matt Verderam here coming up in 13 minutes, let's get to the most pressing clips from our station's guests throughout the day with the Station Buzz. All right, kicking things off, let's start in the morning with Ken and Anthony, where they had Ryan Konigsberg's from DNVR Buffs covering the Colorado Buffaloes, where he said, contrary to a lot of people, the decision he would make between the two Buffaloes at the number two pick.
You can't go wrong picking Travis Hunter, for sure. But when you're a franchise that's been searching for a quarterback this long and a player who is, I think, uniquely prepared to take on that responsibility and that pressure, I think it would be a mistake to pass on him. That being said, if you are a GM who wants to look good to an ownership and a fan base, do the safest possible thing. Well, I would take Travis Hunter, because Travis Hunter is going to be a superstar and everyone's going to say, oh, you did it. You nailed that pick.
It is. It's safe. You can go through it in Travis Hunter. Again, you're basically, guys, by drafting Travis Hunter, you get double the opportunities for the kid to pan out. Just not as a two-way player, where maybe the conversation around that becomes a lot more difficult in getting it to work. But if you're trying him at wide receiver or at corner, you got to double the chance. Either he's going to work in one way and not the other, or, you know, is a wide receiver not a corner? Is a corner not a wide receiver? You have two positions, then a guy is considered very highly at both. That's great. But if you want the superstar, the game changer, again, what we've been preaching on the show for the last couple of months, that's Shedeur Sanders. You need to go get a quarterback. Shedeur's available to you. I know it's becoming longer and longer odds. I'm not moving my stance. Shedeur is still the guy that I look at with the number two pick. And I tell you, yeah, I'd still be going and setting in the car to go get Shedeur Sanders, because this doesn't come around every single time that you get it. If you can get him later in the first round, you want to trade back up, you're confident, go do it. But I'd much prefer just to have my quarterback locked in and a guy that I don't see a ton of flaws in, at least ones that aren't fixable. All right, let's keep it rolling, where Cody Goodwin was on with Afternoon Drive covering Alabama for 24/7 Sports. And he talked about Jalen Milroe's connection to Tommy Rees.
I think it would help, for sure. You look back at, you know, when Tommy Rees was the OC at Alabama, again, Saban's last season, Milroe was top five, top six in quarterback efficiency in the country, right? And that's better than Caleb Williams. You guys are talking about Jackson Dart, better than him. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. He didn't really kind of stretch, you know, the boundaries of his athleticism under Tommy Rees, but he kept everything contained. He knew what he could do. He did it very well. They only really pressed a few buttons with him, but those few buttons that they did press, they did it at an elite level, a really, really, you know, efficient level. I think that would be a good pairing. I don't know if it would make for elite quarterback play, but Tommy Rees did a really good job raising the floor of Jalen Milroe and what they can do offensively when he was in Tuscaloosa. And I think Cleveland fans would be, I don't know that they would be overly thrilled, but I think they could feel good knowing that that relationship produced some pretty good ball.
This is going to be something I want to circle back on later in the 8 o'clock hour, too, because the connection is something that we mentioned it yesterday, just doesn't get talked about enough. Like, Jalen Milroe was considered an elite of the elite quarterbacks, playing under Tommy Rees, playing in a very similar system to the one that the Browns run right now under Kevin Stefanski. If you want a guy that, yeah, maybe you don't have to go and start him day one. Maybe you don't have the luxury of going and starting him day one, because he's probably not ready as a passer. If you're going to bypass Shedeur Sanders at two and you're going to go with a veteran quarterback this year, Jalen Milroe's the guy you turn to. That's upside and upside with a coach that you currently have in the room. That, to me, is borderline no-brainer. He's been incredible in his time with Tommy Rees. And then in 2024, maybe not so much, but I'd be banking on high upside athleticism and being able to rekindle a relationship with a former offensive coordinator. I'd do that just about every chance that I got. All right, Let's get to a little talk on the Guardians earlier on today across the station, where Andy Kastrovitz of MLB.com, covering the Guards over there, talked about how the team still searching to find their identity.
Steven Vogt said this yesterday, like, they're still looking for their identity. You know, last year they had a very clear identity. They were so good defensively. They got leads and they protected those leads. Short outings from the starters and then handed over to the best bullpen, one of the best bullpens ever, let alone the best bullpen in MLB last year. And you can't rely on that. That's not a reliable formula year after year to have that kind of bullpen performance.
It's almost as if we were similarly talking about this yesterday, right? And I was telling you, they have no identity. The team can't hit the ball right now. Offensively, they have nothing they can rely on. And you can't go and say, well, our bullpen's going to be just fantastic again this year, because a bunch of guys that succeeded in one season should be expected to repeat. No, I don't think that you get that luxury to go through and make that assumption. And the Guardians shouldn't be banking on that. And it's good to hear from Anthony there, via the words of Steven Vogt, that they're not doing it. You're going to have to find it at some point. And I don't think it's going to be offense. I don't think that it's going to be able to be the starting rotation. Again, you can't bank on bullpen year to year. Defense has been bad. I'm just waiting for the identity to find itself. Can you present yourself? Are you in the room with us? I still await an answer. Let's keep the Guardians conversation rolling with Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, on with Nick and JP today, and talked about what we talked about yesterday, the question marks throughout the lineup.
I think that the top three guys in the lineup are established enough that you know that they're going to be just fine. And obviously, I'm speaking of Juan Ramirez and Carlos Santana. I like Kyle Manzardo a lot. But once you get past those guys, there's just question marks everywhere. And hopefully this is a thing where the lineup will warm up with the weather, which obviously the weather's not warming up today anytime soon.
Well, I would have liked that back in yesterday at 10:20 when I talked to Daryl. He told me it was too early, and now he's got question marks. Well, Daryl, I also have question marks. Again, it's not just me pointing out that the Guardians have offensive flaws. I don't know that the people just weren't happy because I brought it to a table and said this is the tipping point. You should be concerned. And the Guardians had just edged out a 1-0 win in a cold home opener, and people wanted to be happy. But it's time to be concerned for what's going on in the Guardians lineup. There's no established anything. You can't be confident in anything they throw out there. You can sit there, and we'll probably have a similar conversation tonight, because, again, you get outside the top three, and it's still been a little skim tonight outside of one guy. We'll get that when we react to the Guardians when they wrap up somewhere closer to probably 9 o'clock. All right. Let's leave that there. Coming back here in about 5 minutes. Matt Verderam covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated and SI Now. We will talk to him. What's going on with the Browns? What's going on at quarterback with the Steelers? How do those two intermingle? And we'll get all the latest around the league. Again, that's coming your way in about 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.